Do you have common sense? We'll find out tonight when we meet Matt with Common Sense Lawn Care to find out how smart you really think you are. Come on in.
Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
All right, welcome to Dayton Approved, where we're exploring Dayton small businesses and nonprofits. Today we've got Matt here today on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
All right, well, I'm glad to have Matt here. He is from Common Sense Lawn Care. So, yeah, tell us more about Common Sense Lawn Care.
So, Common Sense Lawn Care is a lawn fertilization and weed control service. We are that that side of lawn care. So,
so you don't cut the grass?
No, we're not a mowing service. We're not not what you'd kind of associate with like a traditional landscaper as far as planting and maintaining bushes and beds and things like that. We are solely focused on plant health, weed management, insect management, things of that nature, more specifically. Also establishing lawns to some extent, though we're not like an equipment operator. If your lot needs bobcat work or something like that,
right,
we're not gonna be
right.
The people to call. No,
exactly. So it sounds to me like basically you do the fertilizing stuff and you make sure the grass is healthy and in good shape.
Yep. Yeah. If you can, we're the guy in the truck with the hose, it's kind of, if you can think back to the good old days of lawn care, that's us. We're the,
well, that's okay. Well, that's good to know because sometimes, with the name, you never know what,
Yeah. We get calls for all types of different things. I've actually found that, most companies in my niche of the industry don't even use the term lawn care anymore.
Really?
We're one of the few. I honestly can't think of any of them that even use lawn care anymore.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, I'm glad you're here because I know that you pride yourself on quality service and professionalism. So I know that's part of your core values. I just wanted you to talk a little bit more about, how important it is to have a professional in this industry taking care of your lawn compared to, someone doing it themselves.
Yeah. One of the reasons I wanted to work for myself is I've seen that there is, you kind of got career oriented people, as far as the service people in this industry. And then you've got, folks that maybe trying it out just as a job,
or maybe just paying the bills.
Yeah. Or just paying the bills with, something that, the industry of lawn care has fairly low barriers to entry. So, just about anybody, can get into it with minimal, experience and education. And that's, I guess that's a little bit of where, where we differ is that, you're going to get a service person with, multiple years experience and, higher levels of education than, what you may get with someone who is, trained for 2 weeks and thrown in a truck by themselves to figure the rest of it out, on their own.
Exactly. So I know that you went to Ohio State, so you actually have a 4-year degree in this.
Yes, that's correct. I, I really wanted to be, as knowledgeable, of a service person, as I could be. And so, that involved, pushing to, higher level of education. And I'm not going to lie, I'm from that era where, when I grew up, you were just expected to go to college.
Yeah.
So that was kind of part of it. But I found something that, I was passionate about and that I could, could make mom, dad and grandma happy,
exactly.
by getting that degree. And so I was fortunate that, that Ohio State does have that,
program.
And they, they do have, other smaller, some of the smaller colleges have, more, trade school level, programs. So I'm all about, education in this industry at whatever, level that it is.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I mean, it just really goes to show that, compared to what you're saying, some guy that just like, hey, here's a spreader, push it, here's a hose, spray it. There's more, a lot more going on.
And I'm guilty of it too. I was an administrator, in this industry running a branch with, 15, 17 guys underneath me. And, sometimes you need somebody in or out.
Of course.
there's only so many, you know, training resources, and you may have a year where, you know, you added a route plus two guys quit, so now you've got three new guys, and you know, it happens, and I get it, but that's, you know, not the type of work I want to put my signature on anymore.
Oh, absolutely not. No, that's not what you do at all. But that's what's exciting. You know, I want to hear your story. So how'd you get into it? Grass? I mean, you're obviously really liking it. I know there's science involved, but tell us your story. How'd you get started?
So it wasn't something I initially thought that I would do for a career. Right out of high school, I thought I was going to go and, you know, try to be a, you know, history teacher or something like that. That was the one, you know, subject in school that interested me. And it was just sort of dumb luck that I, you know, got an opportunity to work in lawn care. And it does go back a little further than that. So my father worked in the industry starting in about, you know, the late 80s, and he kind of bounced jobs. He sold cell phones when they were, you know, something you carried in a suitcase.
Yeah.
He sold, you know, cable when they sold that door to door, and, you know, he found his way into lawn care, and it was, you know, it was something.
So
that,
you could say this is generational now.
This is multi-generational. You'll as the story unfolds, you'll hear more about, you know that whole thing. But
okay.
I also had an uncle that sort of worked in the marketing side, you know, but specific to, you know, the lawn care industry. So I had been kind of, you know, sort of raised around the industry more than, you know, the average person would be. I remember, you know, with my dad being primarily in sales, you know, just, you know, hanging out in the basement, watching baseball games, you know, helping him, you know, prep his sales materials. So I didn't even think, you know, at the time a whole lot of that, but I probably associate, you know, some positive memories, you know, of my dad with lawn care too. So right out of high school, I got a job, you know, working for the same, you know, company he was. And that was a little bit different situation. I wasn't just trained for 2 weeks and thrown in a truck. It was
now you grew up here, so you went to Centerville as well.
That's correct.
Are an all around Dayton guy.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much. Yeah. You know, spent all my life pretty much in either Kettering or Centerville, are two places I've lived in the city.
Yeah, but, South Dayton.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt too much. I just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, so I got that job, just doing production work. It was a company that ran, you know, two man, you know, teams. So that kind of helps when you've got somebody that you're riding with. I liked the work. You just kind of got out there. It was physical. I liked that. You were outside. I didn't realize at the time how much, you know, I appreciated just being outside. And
I mean, just being outside is great. It's great for the, you know, the mental health, and it's good for your, you know, physical body, like you said, moving around. So
yeah,
the sun hitting you, it's good.
Yeah, it you know, as soon as that sun starts coming out in April, I'm like a whole new person. It's great. I started, you know, right out of high school. It was, you know, like August of 2001. I started in the industry, and I worked at my dad's company, the company he was working for, till the end of the season. So only about 3 or 4 months, and it was at that point my dad's like, you know, you're doing pretty good at this. We should start a business. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I haven't even done a full season. You're not really the most business savvy, but either way, with got a little help from my grandma. We got a little help from my uncle that worked in the industry, and so we started a company in 2002 called Common Sense Lawn Care. We got up to about 200 customers in the first spring, but as it worked out, my dad passed away of a heart attack in April of that first year. So that was kind of a big blow to to that business. I mean, I was 19 years old, working in an industry I knew very little about. Then all of a sudden, you know, I'm alone in it. So
yeah.
So I kept it going, you know, tried to do the best I could. I was hoping to run it, you know, through the whole season, so we might have at least been able to, you know, sell the business off.
Yeah, do something with it.
You know, but it didn't have a whole lot of value, you know, being that new.
That fresh.
But so I ended up just letting it go in June of 2002, you know, shortly after it started. At that point, I, you know, went back into school, was just trying to figure out, you know, what my next move was.
Of course.
And I found out, you know, shortly thereafter, that you could, you know, you could have a, you know, a college degree in lawn care. And I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, that's, you know, I like that more than sitting through, you know, history and math classes. That's something I'm actually kind of interested in. And I just decided that, you know, hey, I'd already considered, you know, doing lawn care as a career by owning a business. So let's, you know, let's do it right this time and, you know, and learn it and, you know, put the
be
time
that professional.
In. And, yep. So I got accepted to, you know, to the Ohio State Turf program, which, you know, unfortunately that program is shrinking. It's not something a whole lot of people go into. So, you know, all you really need to do is fill out the application and you can, you know, you can get accepted. So that was, you know, but it still felt like a, you know, a big deal when you get that, you know, that acceptance letter.
Yeah. I remember because I also went to Ohio State, I remember there was a kid that was in that class or in that program or a program similar to it. And they said, I said, what are you learning there? Like, what's going on? He goes, well, this week we're learning about billboards on farmland. I'm like, awesome. You know, like, and they're just talking about how to conduct that business and how to use that as rent. And it was just, and I said, oh, well, yeah, I guess that is something that you should learn about, you know, if you're going to be in that industry.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm minor in ag business. So yeah, we heard about a lot of that, that type of thing.
Yeah. You know, I know it's the same school.
Yeah. It's all part of the College of Agriculture. So you've got certain, you know, certain classes that are real specific to, right. You know, to turf maintenance, but you go through, you know, some of your, you know, some of the, you know, earlier classes, you're dealing with people who are in, you know, livestock science, crop science, horticulture, you know, people that are working on plants, people want to go work for nurseries. So you get exposed to a lot of different facets.
Now, I know field maintenance is huge now.
Yeah.
You know, just making sure that if you're a baseball field or even a football field, that's a big job.
Even the artificial fields require, you know, a certain level of knowledge to maintain, you know, those playing surfaces long term. There's daily, weekly, you know, post-game, you know, pre-game things that go on even with a, you know, with an artificial surface.
Right.
And, you know, typically it's people that have worked, you know, either on, you know, in a stadium setting, you know, whether it was, you know, real turf initially, because some of the things are the same, but then there's other things that
are definitely different.
That are different. Field turf as a whole.
Well, we're getting a little off sidetrack on your story, but anyway, sorry, back to where I don't remember where we left off. But.
So we were talking about, you know, went to Ohio State.
Yes, Ohio State.
So went to Ohio State through the turf program, really did enjoy that. One of the things you had to do was you had to do a co-op and actually work in your industry. And so between my junior and senior year that summer, I did my co-op. And I thought I would try golf for a second. I did get, you know, accepted to an internship at a country club in Columbus, but I really kind of wanted to go back to Dayton for the summer instead. So I ended up popping into it was a local, you know, family-owned company that had been around for a long time. And I was kind of familiar with their reputation. The independent companies kind of tend to come and go. And this particular one, you know, had sort of, you know, stood the test of time and seemed to, you know, always be, you know, kind of growing and expanding. I was like, I kind of want to see what they're about. I grew up in the shadow of their facility anyway. I used to drive past it, you know, because it was literally right around the corner from my house. So I was familiar with them, but never really knew a whole lot about what they were actually about. So I went and, you know, they were happy to have me, you know, come work for them for the summer. So I did that. And I really liked them and, you know, learned a lot and, you know, they liked me and they're like, you know, hey, you know, just so you know, if, you know, when you're done with your senior year, you know, you have a job.
Yeah. So you got a spot for you.
Yeah. So they said they'd make a spot for me. And so I went and I ended up doing what would have been probably 4 quarters worth of college and 3 quarters so I could get done in the year because I wanted to get back there and not
have to
stick around. So yeah, I was doing like, you know, 20 plus hours for 3 quarters. It was like a ridiculous load. But yeah, I got back there, you know, and it was great. I got a route. I was working primarily in the Beaver Creek, Greene County area. And you know, it was actually an area I was kind of familiar with because that was the first company that I worked with my dad, you know, very early on was based in Beaver Creek.
Yeah,
so they had, that was where the
ball was. Of course, you knew Dayton. It's Dayton suburbs. So.
You know, so it was that was a good fit for me. But the, you know, the company was based out of Centerville. So they had really good density in, like, you know, Centerville, Kettering, you know, some of those areas, you know, nearby. They were pretty sparse out in Beaver Creek. And I don't ever really think they appreciated, you know, how much, you know, market share was potentially out there. They always kind of sort of wrote it off as what they, you know, they call it like a no growth area because they thought it was just a lot of, you know, right pat folks coming in and out. And, you would turn over business to Moose as fast as you would get it. But they didn't like advertise or anything there. So maybe it was, but I got into that route and, you know, I was, you know, within a couple of years, I was growing it, you know, 20-25%, you know, every year, you know, shedding territory, and just making it, you know, more and more dense and more efficient and more profitable. And that was a really cool experience, sort of.
Of course.
You know, it was me, but it wasn't my business, but it was that little sect of it kind of was, you know,
yeah.
in Beaver Creek, you know, you were calling, you know, that company, you were calling Matt, you know, because you gotten that
it was
honor
you,
for
yeah.
a and, you know, the company name was insignificant, you know, at that point, because, you know, everybody was, you know, either seeing it from, you know, from a neighbor or hearing about it from a friend. And so that led to my, you know, my next opportunity with that company, which was they wanted to open a second office in the North Dayton area. And so I was selected to, you know, no longer be a service person, but to, you know, to open that that branch. And so
be a manager.
Yep, be a manager. I was the inaugural branch manager of the North Dayton office. And that was a good experience. That was, you know, higher stress, you know, experience you know, I learned that, you know, I wasn't just managing, you know, customer expectations. I was, you know, now managing, you know, employee
people.
Relationships, which was very new to me. You know, the customer relationships were pretty easy because I always, you know, the lawns always look good. So usually you weren't dealing with anybody that was too upset, but, you know, working with employees, you know, you're not always, you know, pleasing them to get them to be positive. So that was the only, you know, real challenge of it. But that, you know, I had a really good group of guys that I was able to go up there with. And we really, you know, first couple years, we just really knocked it out of the park. And we were growing that branch left and right. And that was, you know, one of my first experiences with, you know, what happens when, you know, a company grows really, really fast and you don't have the staff or the systems in place to keep up with it. And so,
I'm sure I can only imagine the mess or the chaos, I guess you could say.
Yeah. You know, every now and then you'd get somebody good, but there was a lot of, you know, training people or, you know, people you thought were going to be good that just, you know, moved on to other industries or things like that. You know, it was, you know, be a small business was tough. You know, health insurance was really expensive at that time. So if people could get one of the nationals, they could get, you know, health insurance for a heck of a lot cheaper. So that always made, you know, those salary negotiations tough. And it, you know, it's just a very physical industry, and not everybody, you know, can do that summer after summer or realizes what, you know, what pushing a spreader in the, you know, the middle
of
July.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't cakework.
So, you know, we had some people, you know, come and go, and that was always the challenge for me, was when you sort of put all this, you know, energy into a person, and they, you know, they leave for one
so
reason
disappointing.
Or another. And, you know, it just sort of, you know, every year it kept growing, every year you were replacing more people. And it, you know, the company itself almost started to become a little bit of a revolving door, and that was something that we always at that company used to say was our differentiator from the national, was that you had this, you know, consistent service people, and it almost felt like we were kind of becoming that. And it just got to a point where I, you know, I felt like I couldn't put my signature on the work that was going out.
What were some of the things you saw? I remember you were saying earlier, there were things you saw that was happening that you didn't like, and you said, I know if I open my own, I would make sure this wouldn't happen.
Yeah, so I did a lot of sales in that role. So you could come to a yard, you could, you know, evaluate it, diagnose it, you know, get the customer on board with what the plan was. Go back, you know, give the plan to the service person, especially if it had, you know, some type of, you know, something specific, something that wasn't just the, you know, the one size fits all, you know, application. So you'd have this perfect plan in place to turn this yard around, and the technician would just do the one size fits all, you know, application. It just seemed like, and some of these guys, it's not their fault. They just were new. They didn't, you know, they hadn't been exposed to it. It was, You know, you get these guys in, and you had, you know, two guys not return, and then one, you know, brand new route. So you've got, you know, three guys to train from scratch, maybe one guy if you're lucky that's a dedicated trainer. And so these guys would get, you know, train for, you know, 2 weeks of the most basic functions of the job and just kind of get sent out on their own. And it was, you know, it was kind of what you had to do. You just didn't have the, you know, it's the spring, you know, sales are coming in left and right. You've got, you know, service calls for, you know, weeds or customer concerns. And it was, you know, there was just, you know, too many balls in the air. And it seemed like, it was, you know, the easy thing to do is just, okay, these guys can start making money. Let's send them out. And so that was, you know, that was where you just, you know, you knew how to make a yard look good. And then you knew that your plan wasn't going to execute as hard as you tried. And I'm not trying to hate on everybody in the industry, because there's a lot of great guys in this industry. But, you know, for every one of those, there's, you know, two or three that, you know, put six or 12 months into it and left because, you know, they just didn't have the training and they got, you know, it just became overwhelming. And I totally get it.
So then that made you decide, hey, let's start this.
Yeah, I just, you know, I kind of was like...
Common sense lawn care.
I was getting stressed. I was already like fantasizing about going back to a production role. Like, I'm just getting so strung out to it. But, you know, the thought of taking like a step back in like your career as a whole, just is like, I don't think I want to do that.
Of course.
And I always just kind of had a little bit different idea of how I would do things if it was...
If it was yours.
Up to me, you know, because every other decision, you know, at a company that had become that size was like a committee, you know, discussion. Those manager meetings just used to really, you know, really wear me out, and I dread them. And, you know, you talk about these things for, you know, for an hour, and then no decision would get made. And so, or you'd make a decision and then it wouldn't
Nobody,
get followed through. You know,
I hate that. The lack of follow through is terrible.
Yeah, we did this huge... huge strategic planning, you know, session of the last year I was there, you know, with, you know, spring of the year before I left. And, you know, we put all this time, you know, we put all this time into, you know, coming up with all these ideas and action plans and things like that, and took a day, you know, out of our busiest time of the year to do this. And then, you know, there was just no follow through from ownership, and it was really disappointing because a lot of these things were really kind of getting to that you have to deal with this, you know, this level, you know, systems that needed implemented and you know, things like that. You know, just the growing pains of a company that had been a small and pop that really turned into a, you know, rapidly growing, you know, multi-million-dollar, you know, service business. And, you know, it couldn't keep, you know, being run that way. And so, yeah, I just decided I don't really want to be part of this organization anymore. You know, my goals aren't, you know, the
aligning.
Same as theirs. And I was like, I just kind of want to do it my way. I think I felt pretty, compared to that kid that was 19 years old, running a business.
Right.
I was like, I'm comfortable in sales now. I really understand.
Got your experience. You've earned your stripes.
You know, I really feel like I can do this now. I'm not that, you know, that 19 year old kid that, you know, didn't have a clue, you know, about what running a business was. And, so yeah, I started, you know, I remember the day I had kind of a rough day at work. My boss had said something sort of short, and I had been, you know, just completed like a week long project, and, you know, while he'd been in Florida, and, you know, comes back and the first thing was just, you know, some little snide remark, you know, something that wasn't a thank you, for the effort.
Basically.
And I was like, okay, I'm done. And, you know, I went and, you know, I think I had a drink. Yeah, it was a Friday. And I was like, and it was just sort of dumb luck that I ran to my neighbor and I was sort of telling him, like, man, I'm done with this job. I think I want, you know, go out on my own. And he's like, you know, see that guy down there across the bar? He does exactly what you're wanting to do. Why don't you go talk to him? So I went and talked to this guy, and you know, he's sort of a, you know, sort of rough around the edges guy from the industry. And you know, I'm probably the only,
I love those guys,
I'm
because
the only
they got
person,
the greatest stories.
Yeah, I'm probably the only person this guy's ever inspired.
Hey, all you need is one, man.
Yeah,
all you need is one.
But yeah, in that moment, you know, he's like, yeah, it's, you know, it, you know, it's great, you can do it, don't think that you can't. And so yeah, I told my wife, you know, we had a little cry over it, and, you know, we decided that it was what we were going to do. So started putting the building blocks in place, you know, kind of January, February of 2020. And most of the people I've talked to that have done this, you know, they started their work like 6 months before of like their last year, where I was kind of like, ah, I'm doing it. We threw it together.
Yeah.
You just, in about 2 months, you're ready to go out, March 1st. And, got all.
So when did you originally start it then?
So I started in, I think the official date is February 22nd of 2020. But I think the first time I actually, produced a dollar worth of work was somewhere in early March. I don't even remember the exact date.
So 2020.
But, yeah. So you can, you guys can remember how March of 2020 went. So I had just landed a really big contract that I had worked on previously that when they heard I left, they tracked me down and wanted to know where I was and if I could still work with them.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things, like, I didn't really factor that into starting my business, but I knew what the quality of the relationship was.
Yeah.
Once that approval came in, it's like, okay, we can breathe a little bit here.
Yeah.
As far as is this business going to work? Are we going to be able to pay our bills? So I get that contract. It's a it's actually the University of Dayton that I do field maintenance for on a number of their athletic fields.
Oh, wow.
And so about a week after that, they canceled all the first five games because of COVID and canceled everything else, and started laying people off. I'm like, oh God, am I going to be able to keep this work that I thought was going to, carry my business through this first year? And, as it worked out, they did, they kept everything, that they would have had done. Cause I mean, it's a field, it's a growing thing. You can't not maintain it just because it's not being used. If you want to have it
for course.
Use.
Yeah. In the future, you definitely need to do that, but we'll talk more about that, a little bit later on.
But yeah, that's more or less the story of Common Sense Lawn Care. Other than, other than how we came up with the name.
So how did you come up with
the name? I used to joke around. But I thought it was funny that I come up with, goofy lawn care company names. I guess I'd always kind of thought about it a little bit. nothing ever substantial. The one that I can still remember was Fabulons.
Oh yes, Fabulons.
But I was talking with my wife at the time about it, and. She's like, you know what you're going to call it. You're going to call it Common Sense Lawn Care. And, because my dad always had been, a big, big influence on, why I was who I was in this industry.
Of course.
So it was,
name of your guys' original business,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so there was really no question that we were going to call it Common Sense Lawn Care again as sort of a,
bring it back to life.
Yeah. And,
that makes sense.
So it's, there's, I guess, even in that little bit, there's a little bit of significance. Sometimes I get a little, almost a little teary-eyed when I think about that. Because it does mean a lot to be able to,
continue the legacy.
Yeah, pick this thing up that we started and, I wouldn't say we failed, but it just, it didn't work out the first time. But
it's awesome. I mean, it's like you get that second go around. I know, I'm sure being 19 and going through that, with your dad and everything, it's got to be rough.
Yeah,
it's got to be rough. I'm 39 and I still have my dad. So I can only imagine,
Yeah, it's life changing. I'm fortunate. I've got a great stepdad. He's been in my life for a long time. I've got great family support and always have.
Yeah, but no, it's brave that you went through that and went to school still.
Yeah, it was really the catalyst for my entire adult life as it worked out. So I don't really. It's hard to think negatively on it.
Exactly. Well, yes. So Centerville is, I know you grew up in Centerville. I grew up in Centerville as well. So go Elks.
Yes.
I know Elks, right?
Weird. Elk pride never dies. That's right.
Well, I always thought Elks was weird because, it's not a real word. It's elk. But whatever. Elks. Let's do it. Heart of Centerville is part of a group that you are a part of. Tell us a little bit what Heart of Centerville does. Like, how do they give it back to the community? What do they do for the community? I know they do a bunch of things. And I know you still live in Centerville.
Yeah. So The Centerville community is very important to me. It's where I run my business. It's my core target area for my business. And some of that's because I live there and it's geographically convenient. But also,
of course,
I grew up there. My kids go there. I'm serving parents of kids I went to high school with, and it's people people I went to high school with. Now it's hard to believe, but
oh yeah,
it's the area that I wanted to work in. It's an area I really want to, you know, support the community and be a part of the community. So it was very early on, a person I worked with who has helped me, you know, kind of get my name out there. He said, you should check out this Heart of Centerville, you know, business organization. So to some extent, it's a business networking type group, kind of like a chamber of commerce, but they do give back to the community. They do a number of community events that bring people together. They do about three concerts a year at, normally it's at Stubbs Park, which is now under construction. So all those events will be at St. Leonard's this year, but there's movie nights. So the Heart of Centerville originally was kind of focused on, you know, that little business district that's at, you know, 48 and Franklin.
And it has since branched, like the crossroads.
Yeah, so it, you know, so it's branched out, you know, to there, but that's where the name kind of came from. And it originally was, you know, a lot of those, you know, those businesses.
Really small mom and pop shops.
Yeah, yeah, because they're like little boutique stores and things they're, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely it was.
Well,
still are.
Yeah, so they do some, you know, what they call like the Holiday Walk, which is a Christmas, you know, outdoor, kind of goes from Benham's Grove and, you know, through the community. So that brings a lot of folks together at Christmas time. They've got another one, you know, very similar, you know, at Halloween. There's a number of things they do to get the community together. One of the things that was really cool to be a part of, you know, through the Heart of Centerville is Centerville has now, you know, for those of you that live there or are familiar, they've changed, you know, the whole image of that area that we were just talking about. They used to call it downtown Centerville. Now it's uptown.
Yeah,
that's
the opposite.
That's been a really big project. It makes sense. It's, you know, one of the highest points in Dayton.
Right.
But I think they're trying to make that little downtown area much more, you know, attractive for, you know, restaurants and, you know, just to kind of bring people back, because it wasn't real pedestrian friendly. It wasn't, you know,
it always had potential, but it kind of like just withered down.
Yeah, like, you know,
really weird.
Like here in Fairborn, there's a lot of like cool things to do, like in the downtown area. You go to Miamisburg, you know, you can walk the strip, and there's, you know, the park that they just, you know. And so I think Centerville is trying to do something like that. One of the cool things about being, you know, in the Heart of Centerville is that we really got to give, you know, the community planners a lot of feedback, you know, on that project as business owners. So pretty cool to be.
So you got your voice heard.
Yeah, to have our, have our as business owners in the area, to have our voices heard of what, you know, we thought would be, you know, what would bring people to the area, what things we'd like to see as business owners. And yeah, it's been, you know, it's really cool to, you know, that they, you know, the city looks to, you know, that group like that as sort of, you know, a, you know.
It's kind of like an eyes and ears approach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I know that you also do like a flag route, is what you were telling me before as well.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So, you know, there's various, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with like an Optimist group. It's a nonprofit. They primarily do, it's, you know, sort of a, you know, I believe it's more of like a children's charity. But we're part of the Centerville Noon Optimist, which is, you know, one of the larger ones in the country. And you probably got, you know, anyone's, you know, who's been around, you know, suburban areas probably seen, you know, around the holidays where you'll have the, you know, the flags in the yards are usually out by the curb. So the Optimist groups typically are the ones that put that out, at least in the Centerville area they are. So Casey and I, my business partner, we run a route where we're the ones that, you know, put the flags out, you know, take the flags back. This is, you know, it's typically going to be, you know, Memorial Day time frame, you know, 4th of July, Labor Day, Veterans Day. I think I'm missing a few in there. There for a while, they kind of sort of merged all the ones from Labor Day to 4th of July kind of into one.
Flag Day. No,
yeah, it was like, it was Flag Day and Juneteenth were added. And then it kind of changed the, you know.
The dynamic.
But it's really cool to, you know, because I've got four of them in front of my house. I've got, you know, kind of a, you know, decent frontage. And, you know, I'm right across from, you know, one of the middle schools. So they also have four. So it makes for like a really cool, you know, corridor on the, you know, on the American, you know, holidays to see all the flags out on display. And so it's cool to be able to be part of, you know, the group that puts that out.
I'm sure it looks really cool.
Yeah.
It's up and going.
Yeah, it's really neat, you know, and they're, you know, blowing in the breeze. And it's just, yeah, it's a really, you know, really cool thing to be a part of.
Well, that's good. That's definitely an awesome way, you know, to be part of the community and giving back. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just something that, the flag is something I think is important. It's been a hot topic over the last couple of years. So it's cool that, you know, we're getting the flag out there and we're showing it still.
Yeah, we've been fortunate too. We've been, you know, we've had the opportunity to, you know, be in the Americana parade they do there in Centerville.
That is a big parade they do every 4th of July.
You know, fortunately, we have a few larger trucks through the nature of our business. So the Optimists had asked us to pull their float for a couple years.
Oh.
We got to do that for them, which was a pretty cool experience too. Getting to be
be part of the parade.
Never seen it from that side before.
From that perspective, yeah. Now, some of the advantages that you have, like, you know, some things that make you a little bit different compared to other companies in your industry. I know you're saying that, you know, you have a much smaller size. Tell us, you know, why that's such a great advantage.
Yeah, I feel like our size is an advantage. I guess we're one of the, one of the few, at least, you know, in our niche of lawn care companies that, you know, is kind of limited edition. There's only two of us. It's me and my partner Casey, and we have a set number of clients that we feel like we can effectively take care of, and that's all the more, you know, we will serve. We will not.
Yeah. So once you hit your limit, you're saying I think 720 is about where you max.
Yeah, out. That's pretty much what we've determined is where we want to be. You know, about 360 for her, 360 for me, and that's
it. You're done.
That's I don't want to be stretched thin. I don't want to be pressured to cut corners to keep up, and so that's where that sort of quota or limit is it comes from. And I guess the other thing is too, I'm not really one to trust, I guess, after my experience at the other company. So having employees was just never really
in the cards
for me, and so that I'd rather just
make sure that you keep the work at hand. And it's good quality work that's done right.
Yeah, so I'm not going to treat everybody, but I will treat the customers I treat as well as I can, and that's all I ever really wanted to do.
Yeah, so your goal isn't hey, let's hit everyone.
Yeah,
your goal is more of let's get people that are really genuinely interested in having a really nice looking yard.
Yeah, I'm fortunate that because I only treat so many people, I can take the people that that care the most, and you can sort of tell the people that are going to be fun to work with, because they're going to want to do the steps to really take their yard all the way and really have this really nice really nice yard to have.
So I know you said that basically more of like you basically describe yourself more of an artist than an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I'm a horrible entrepreneur in that regard. And that I've said I'm limiting the revenue that my business is going to do. But yeah, for me, it's always just been about the it's about the relationships that I make. It's about the aesthetic you create. It's about the It's about the process of watching all this happen. That's that's always been the fun part for me, and what makes me want to do this. And I think that's a little bit of what I lost when I worked in management, was not getting to have those hands-on experiences. I mean, the thing that thrills me the most, and it happens several times every year, and it never gets old, is when you've got somebody new that you've worked with that year, and they're like, oh boy, I've been through everybody, and my yard's never looked like this,
Yeah, I mean, I know, because I've seen these guys, and unfortunately I have friends that are like this, and I try to steer them away, but it's like, they're the guy that's never happy. There doesn't matter what you do, you screwed their yard up, right? So it's like, if you can get that guy turned, is a huge win.
Yeah, throughout the course of my career, whether it was the old company in my production job or currently, every now and then you'd get a sale and be like, if you can make her happy, you can make anybody happy. You can make him happy, you can make anybody happy. So, because it's usually like usually some other contract that's done work for this person.
And they're like, hey, just so you know, this guy. Oh man. Now, I know that we talked a little bit about this, but you did say something about, one of the differentiators too was like, you saw the average working person or the average person working at other businesses, they basically had little experience compared to your experience. And we really want to harp or hammer down about how important that is. Because someone with little experience, they're not going to be able to get that guy that we just talked about.
Yeah.
You know, it's turned from a, you know, everyone sucks to, hey, you're awesome. You're like, you did with the impossible.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a simple, you know, just little diagnostic thing that's been missed every year for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can catch that one thing, you know, that could be the game changer, you know, right, in somebody's yard. I could tell you a story about one if you'd like.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
There was a yard I took care of, and it was always a hard yard to take care of. It was in a new subdivision. The soil was absolute garbage, and it had the worst grass variety, you know, it could have. So it just, you know, baked in the sun, you know, had no roots, and, you know, half of it died every summer. You know, you could kind of get it looking back, but eventually the guy moved and I didn't take care of the yard anymore. You know, fast forward a couple years, a new homeowner has this house. He reaches out to my business. I'm in management now, but he's wanting to do more of an establishment project. So he wanted, you know, this whole yard just, you know, covered. And I think it was like 60 yards of topsoil. It was ridiculous.
It's like a total redo.
Yeah. You know, cause it was, I mean, the yard was literally growing on rocks and he was sick of it dying every year too. So we signed on to do this project with him. He kind of went off the, you know, off the plan a little bit and went out ahead of us and rented a tiller and, you know, tilled his yard up and really brought even more rocks to the surface than what were already there. And kind of messed the grade up, and it kind of complicated the project, but you know, made it more memorable, I guess. But either way, so this job, you know, went like 2 days longer because of all the rocks. We were just like digging out rocks from the curb for, you know, what seemed like just days.
Yeah, it's like to the point where you got a pile of rocks you could probably resell to someone.
Yeah, we were like taking dump trucks out like every day. But it was that's part of, you know, but that's not really the main part of the story. Either way, this guy spends thousands and thousands of dollars to try to, you know, repair this yard and turn it into something that he's not going to have to fight with year after year like it had been. And so I never really saw the yard again because I wasn't working in service. But as it worked out, when I started my business, he was one of my very first customers because, you know, unbeknownst to me at the time, you know, he was the boss of, you know, where my wife works. So when she said we were starting this business, you know, he said, I'll be one of your first customers. So I went out in this yard and I remembered it when I got there. And I'm like, man, this yard, you know, has not really turned into, you know, what I thought it would for all the work that went into it.
Yeah, you, all that blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, so I started working with it, you know, I think it was the second or third time out, you know, the yard thinned out. Why did it do this? This is the same, you know, same way it was, you know, we started. And I was able to diagnose it was a certain insect issue that, you know, it's not something you necessarily would have thought of, you know, in a yard of that nature, but, you know, it was clearly confirmed that it was. So mentioned it to him, just said, hey, next year we've got to do, this, you know, certain service, and, you know, problem solved. And as it turned out, it was, and that yard, you know, has finally become, you know, what this guy, you know, envisioned, you know, 5 years earlier when he did this project. And now it's the envy of the neighborhood, finally.
Nice. Yeah. And that's a nice point to get to the part where, finally get to the point, I should say, where the neighborhood is like, this is the yard everyone wants to be.
Yeah.
That is like, all right, let's get to this point, because then the whole Jones effect starts into play.
Yeah. There's an effector we call in this, or at least I call it this. I call it a hot corner.
Hot corner.
Yeah. Usually you'll start with a corner property, you know, then you get like another corner property, and then maybe like one across the street. So when you got those three, then the hot corner started.
Yeah.
And then it'll usually start wrapping around, you know, one corner, maybe wrapping around the other. And they're super efficient, you know, once you get them, and they're super high visibility.
Yeah.
Too. So, you know, if you can get one of those started, that's like, you know, that's my favorite thing is
yeah,
you know, when you get something like that.
Right, because then it just spreads.
Yeah, but it always, you know, the corner property always seems to be the
keystone.
I
always think about my neighbor's yard, because I know I like my yard. And my neighbor's yard, they don't do shit. And I'm like, I know anything is coming from them, right?
Yeah.
And I always think, maybe I should just have my guy just go a little further over, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, just a little further.
Yeah, right? I can't tell you. I mean, yeah. Can you spray a little bit into his yard?
Yeah.
A little defense over there.
Yeah, exactly. A little defense. It's funny though, man. And I was telling my other buddy, I said, you know, I'm halfway tempted because I got a pretty small front yard. I don't care about the back, whatever. Yeah. It's fenced off. But I got a small front yard, and I'm like, you know, I'm thinking maybe even if I just did it twice a year, at nighttime, just go over there and just do it. You know, just do two applications myself. Nobody knows.
Yeah,
you know,
just
to combat those weeds.
Wait till he goes on vacation and call me. Yeah,
exactly. Hey, no. Can you go over there?
For legal reasons, we will not actually treat yards without their approval.
Right, of course, of course, of course. So some of the hardships. Let's talk about that. You know, in the industry, what's going on? You know, we got inflation happening right now.
Yeah,
I know that is taking a toll on everyone, but let's talk about how it's taking a toll on your business.
Yeah, I feel like this year it's really kind of, you know, caught up with not just me, but our industry as a whole. I've you know, got a network of you know, folks that I've, you know, worked with that we've all gone, you know, different directions, you know, but still, you know, still in the industry. And, you know, I know in my experience, you know, renewals were down this year. It seemed like new, you know, new customers coming in were down. And, you know, primarily, you know, what I've, you know, heard from folks, it wasn't, you know, there weren't dissatisfaction issues. There weren't even as many movings. A lot of it was, you know, financial. Like, it, you know, like it or not, you know, lawn care is, you know, it's more of a luxury service. It's, you know,
one of the first things to go.
Yeah, we
kind of cut the budget.
Yeah, you're going to cut the lawn care before you're going to cut the internet, you know. And, and we're not like a plumber or somebody that you have to call because you have a problem. So it, you know, it's something, you know, you got to kind of want it. And yeah, I've heard for a lot of people just say, hey, you know, we had to do a roof this year. We can't do it. Our AC went out and we can't, you know, that's really, you know, one major home repair is enough that people are feeling like they can't, you know, afford the service this year. And it's, you know, it seems like that's across the board. Typically, you know, typically advertising and lawn care is, you know, March and April only, and then it's done. And
right.
I see a lot of companies still running, you know, commercials in May, which is, you know, generally unheard of in my experience. So I think everybody out there is still trying to drum up more business, you know, make sure they're, you know, reaching those, you know, operational goals and things like that, keeping their guys busy. Cause it seems like, you know, it's across the board. That's been the, been the struggle. And I can only think that, you know, it's financially.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it's, you know, it's just interesting how everything affects every industry different. So it's just interesting how, you know, it makes sense what you say about, you know, the first thing to go.
Yeah.
You know, it is more of a luxury item. I like to have a nice green yard.
Yeah.
But I don't have to have a nice green yard. So it's just interesting to see where things are actually going.
Yeah. I mean, back in our parents' generation, you know, if you lived in, you know, middle class and up suburb, you know, they kind of treated it like a utility bill in those days. It wasn't really as optional, you know, 8 or 9 yards out of 10, you know, would have a service. And, you know, now I'd say, you know, maybe depending on where you are,
maybe half.
Six at best. Yeah. Yeah. So it's changing. I mean, you know, people's viewpoints on the industry are always, you know, always changing. And so we deal with all of that. We try to promote, what our industry is all about, and, you know, and what the value of it is, and, you know, that's all you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you said earlier, you did mention earlier about how you are excited about new customers. Tell us more why you like that whole process. I know, like, the end goal, but let's just talk about
that. Yeah, so, I mean, a first-year customer, that's always kind of, you know, the most exciting, because that's when you make, you know, the vast majority of the changes, you know, and the improvements. You know, that's where the you know, the heavy lifting is done, is, you know, getting that yard thickened up, greened up, getting those weeds out. And it's not a short term, you know, process. You know, some of these things are, you know, take more time, and it's
now, awesome. Can you do it in one season, or does it normally take a couple seasons to get a yard top grade?
For the most part, you know, unless there's, you know, significant, you know, significant issues, you're gonna accomplish a lot of things in that first year. And you may not really feel the full benefit. You know, say you start a service, you know, April 1st, you probably, you know, you'd see improvements all throughout the year, but you really wouldn't like see or feel, you know, the full effect until that following year, when the yard's, you know, been through, you know, spring, you know, summer, fall, winter.
Gone through the whole season.
And, you know, you've put all of those building blocks in place and gotten all those, pests and weeds and things out.
Yeah.
You know, seeded if you needed to seed, and that seed's finally, reaching maturity. It's finally, it's growing at peak, and, it's a love-hate relationship, when you gotta mow every 4 days, but, if you do, that yard just, man, it stands out, and it looks great, and you're like, wow, I can't believe how far we've come.
Yeah.
And that's, I remember from being, God, maybe 20 years old in the second company I worked for, the first time I was really, working a spring where I wasn't just working yards that were already cleaned up. It was like the first time, total dumpster fire of a yard, just weeds everywhere. This yard was, more dandelions than it was grass, and, spraying one for the first time, and then coming back and seeing it that second time and just be like, wow, I can't believe, how much this yard is changed. This is, this stuff really works. This is pretty remarkable. it only grew from there, when I really got into my career and got to do that, over and over again, and get more confidence in it, and then, learn what worked and what didn't. I mean, there's certain things, certain, weeds and stuff like that, that there was one in particular, it took me probably 15 years to figure out how to kill this weed.
Wow.
Before I finally figured out the right recipe,
yeah,
and timing and everything else. And, you even when you can unlock one new thing like that, it's exciting. It's like, oh wow, this is, now I can start doing this for people. Now I can solve this problem. It's,
yeah.
It's really cool. It's
15 stuff years.
Stuff I get excited about and, nerd out.
Yeah,
to
no,
bit,
no,
guess,
it's cool. Well, that leads me to the UD project. Now, you mentioned it, but let's talk more about it. Like, what is that you got going on?
So I'm very fortunate to, be a contractor of UD Athletics. So I don't service the entire campus. That would be a lot. But, I get to work on, I guess, four of their athletic fields. So the two of them are, have become a, very, very maintenance intensive. I mean, these are, Division I, soccer fields. And it seems like, soccer is as much as any sport, definitely prefers, real turf to artificial. With the running and everything, it's way easier on your joints. It's easier on your skin when you fall. It's way, the players prefer it. It's way better for their bodies to play on real turf. So that
makes sense.
Yeah. So over the years, as competition for recruits has increased, the university has really wanted to bring these fields, to a very high level, far above, what we would typically do in a home lawn setting. And this, so this was a project I got into years ago. It was actually, it was something that the old company I worked for, they had, and it was treated very differently then. It was one of those things you only kind of went out when they had a problem, and there was sort of like a real, real basic fertility program that the guys that did, commercial lawn care did. So it was really,
so they didn't really do any preventative stuff. It was all let's deal with it after the fact.
Yeah. And so they were starting to get to the point where they were wanting, a little more and like a preventative program. And, for the guy at that company who was responsible for it at the time, it was just like one more thing he had to do.
Mm.
But for me, with my, university background, there was a lot of, things I'd learned that I'd never really been able to,
apply,
because they weren't applicable in lawn care, versus golf or field maintenance. So it's like, I really want to be a part of this. This would be cool to actually,
yeah,
get to,
use your education.
Yeah, I get to, flex my muscles a little bit. And so I was able to, I got in with them. It started with just the, so University of Dayton, their varsity, their performance soccer field is called Beaujon. It's, it's kind of their, it's their baby. It's right there by, by the original, St. Mary's building, and, very, very high visibility. So I started with just that, And I really enjoyed it, and it was a cool thing to do. So I kind of asked if I could, take over the rest, because they had, at that time, there was there was a baseball field being treated, there was a football field being treated. Those have both since gone artificial. The practice field, you know, was very basic maintenance, so I wasn't even doing those. It was like the guys in, you know, commercial lawn care, that you know, division, that were doing those, you know. So I took it all on the second year, and it just kind of became, you know, just became
your
my project.
Yeah, your baby.
Yeah, and then when I got sent up to you know, sent up north to start the branch, I still, you know, I still managed it, and it's just, you know, there for a while they were going back and forth with bringing it in house, and it was always like, oh, are we going to get it again? And you know, then they, the next, instead they spend more money with you the next year, you know, want to add more and more, and that's just kind of what it became. Like, it was just, you know, every year they wanted to, you know, do a little more and do a little more and do a little more. And at one point they, you know, they had a pretty big donation to improve the practice, you know, soccer facilities. And at that point, that field went from, you know, kind of, yeah, a home lawn, you know, grade maintenance program to, you know, I would like, you know, like, or akin to, you know, what a golf course would get.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what these fields are getting now, is, you know, a greens and tees, you know, level yeah, fertility and, you know, and pesticide program. And
nice.
So that was, you know, that was something that,
now, what does that involve? Like, basically going, like, what, twice a month?
Yeah, I'm out there. So my work season is about 40 weeks out of the year. I'm out there 26 weeks of that 40.
Wow.
Doing something.
26 compared to like an average household, which is 5?
Yeah, my full program for lawn care is 6 treatments. So
wow.
Yeah, about there, you know, yeah, I'm, if you were on the lawn service, you'd see me about every, you know, 7 weeks on average. So yes, this is very, you know, very
intense.
Maintenance intensive with what they, you know, what they put into this to have it, you know,
make it look this good.
Yeah, it make it look that good. It's also got to perform. It's not just for aesthetics. You know, these have, you know, college athletes
using it.
Yeah, that are, you know, running across it, you know, turning on a dime, you know, in cleats. These surfaces, you know, have to hold up to that. So it goes beyond just looking good. And then you've got to do this at, you know, 1 3/4 height of cut, as opposed to, you know, we cut most of our yards at, you know, 4 inches, and that, you know, that taller canopy, you know,
hide stuff,
you know, holds up better. You know, when you've got it at that lower canopy, the, you know, the stresses on the plant are significantly higher. That's easier to wear, you know, wear on the plants. And so, yeah, it takes a lot to, you know, have something not only, you know, look good, but also be, you know, utilitarian and hold up to its intended value. I mean, it's a living playing surface.
Yeah. It's amazing though. It's gotta be a fun project. It's gotta be a fun thing.
Yeah. I was fortunate that, you know, when I went to start my own business, you know, they
wanted you.
Yeah, they're like, where'd he go?
Yeah.
And I have, you know, a few relationships with some of the people I worked with directly there, and yeah, they said, hey, you know, if you're able to, you know, would you like to, you know, bid this project with your business? And, you know, because we'd like to,
you know, like, we want you.
Yeah, we feel like you've been very, you know, very knowledgeable, very consistent. You know, you've always been there for us.
You demonstrate being an expert.
So I felt very fortunate.
Well,
that
Matt, that wraps us up, my man. You know, I appreciate you being on here. How do we get a hold of you? How do we get a hold of you being the professional at, you know, dealing with the lawns?
So obviously the easiest way to get a hold of us is through our website. That's commonsenselawn.com. You can look us up there. You know, find us through any of your search engines. But to find a little bit more about our programs, about the services we offer, to put in a request for an estimate, all those things can be done through the website. Certainly, you know, the phone always works too. Our number is 937-367-2820. You can call or text on that number, and you'll get to you know, talk with me directly. You know, my partner Casey, you know, operates the same way. If you're one of her service people, you know, you can call her number and you know, get to speak with her directly. It's all about you know, having that personal contact and that personal touch, where you don't have to, you know,
yeah,
deal with the call center or
right,
deal with, you know, a receptionist. You can go right
from
to the person
to
you
finish.
Work with, you know. Yeah,
that's cool.
You're right. Yeah, and through every aspect of it, from the sales process to the service, you're dealing with one person.
That's awesome. Well, cool. Thank you for being on the show. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, this was great. Thanks, Frank. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Yeah, great.
All
thank
right.
you. Have a good one.
Subscribe and follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at DaytonApproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.